Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memar by Avram Golda, and today Masechet Sukkah, Daf Chaf, the end of the first parak, Sukkah Shigavoa, and the beginning of the second parak, Ayashen Tachos Amita. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings a Mishnah in the Adios that taught, Kol HaChatzalos Metamin Tumei Meis, Divi Rebbe Dosi. Rebbe Dosi says that all Chatzalos are Makabal Tumas Meis, and the Chamim say they're Makabal Tumas Midras. Rashi explains that the Chamim hold that the Chatzalos are used for reclining, and are therefore Makabal Tumas Midras, whereas Rebbe Dosi holds they're not made for reclining, and therefore are not Makabal Tumas Midras. When the Gemara questions this, since it implies that the Chamim hold that they are not Makabal Tumas Meis, and it was learned in the Mishnah, Kol Metamei Midras, Metamei Tumei Meis, anything that is subject to Tumas Midras is necessarily subject to Tumas Meis as well. The Gemara says the Chamim are actually saying that Chatzalos are also subject to Tumas Midras. Rav Avdimi Bar Hamduri said that Chatzalos are merzovle, which Rabbi Abba defines as mezabwe, leather bags. Rashi explains that shepherds use them for pillows when they lay down to rest. Rabbi Dosa holds that since they're not their primary use and shepherds are not encouraged to lie down on the job, they're not makabel Tumas Midras. Rish Lakish says that Chatzalos are machatzalos mamish, real mats. Pointing to the Gemara notes that Rish Lakish's interpretation of Chatzalos as real mats is consistent with his reasoning somewhere else, for he said, Hareini kaparas Rabbi Chiya Ubanov, may I be an atonement for Rabbi Chiya and his sons. Rashi explains that Rish Lakish was saying that any affliction he suffers should be a kapara for Rabbi Chiya and his sons, as this was a proper method of honoring one's recently departed father or Rebbe. Rish Lakish continues, for initially when Torah was forgotten from Yisrael, ala Ezra mababel v'yistar, Ezra came from Babel and reestablished it. When it was forgotten again, referring to Ba'i Sheni during the leadership of the Ben Becerra family, Hillel Bavli ascended to Eretz Yisrael and reestablished it. When it was forgotten again, Rabbi Chiya and his sons ascended and reestablished it. The Ritva explains that even though Torah was not forgotten then, which was during the days of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, we learn that even one who assures the survival of even one halacha is regarded as having established the entire Torah. And Rabbi Chiya and his sons said that Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim are arguing over mats that most people do not designate for sitting on. Rabbi Dosa holds that they're not makabel tumas midras, and the Chamim hold that since some people occasionally sit on them, they are makabel tumas midras. And point number three, the opening mission of the second parak states, Hayashin tachas amita basukul yatsi de chavaso. One who sleeps under the bed in a sukkah has not fulfilled his chiyuv to dwell in a sukkah. Rashi explains that the bed serves as an independent oil and is a barrier between him and the sukkah, and the ikar dwelling in the sukkah is eating, drinking, and sleeping there. Rav Yehuda said it was our practice that we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah in the presence of the zakenim, and they didn't say a word in protest. The Gemara will explain that according to Rav Yehuda, the bed is considered an ohel arai, a temporary dwelling. V'asi ohel arai mevato ohel keva. A temporary shelter doesn't supersede the permanent shelter of the sukkah. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara brings a Mishnah in Adios that taught, Kol HaChatzalos Metamin Tumei Meis, Divi Rebbe Dosi. Rebbe Dosi says that all Chatzalos are Makabel Tumas Meis, and the Chamim say they're Makabel Tumas Midras. Rashi explains that the Chamim hold that Chatzalos are used for reclining and are therefore Makabel Tumas Midras, whereas Rebbe Dosi holds that they're not made for reclining and therefore are not Makabel Tumas Midras. When the Gemara questions this, since it implies that the Chamim hold that they're not Makabel Tumas Meis, and it was learned in the Mishnah called Metamin Midras, Metamin Tumei Meis, anything that is subject to Tumas Midras is necessarily subject to Tumas Meis as well. The Gemara says the Chamim are actually saying that Chatzalos are also subject to Tumas Midras. Rav Avdimi Bar Hamduri said that Chatzalos are mezovle, which Rabbi Abba defines as mezabli, leather bags. Rashi explains that shepherds use them for pillows when they lay down to rest. Rabbi Dosa holds that since this is not their primary use and shepherds are not encouraged to lie down on the job, they're not makabel Tumas Midras. Rish Lakish says they're machatzalos mamish, real mats. Pointing to the Gemara notes that Rish Lakish's interpretation of Chatzalos as machatzalos, as real mats, is consistent with his reasoning somewhere else. For he said, Hareini kaparas Rabbi Chiya Ubanav, may I be an atonement for Rabbi Chiya and his sons. Rashi explains that Rish Lakish was saying that any affliction he suffers should be a kapara for Rabbi Chiya and his sons, as this was a proper method of honoring one's recently departed father or Rebbe. Rish Lakish continues, for initially when Torah was forgotten from Yisrael, ala Ezra mababel yistav, Ezra came up from Babel and reestablished it. When it was forgotten again, referring to Ba'i Sheni during the leadership of the Ben Becerra family, Hillel Bavli ascended to Eretz Yisrael and reestablished it. When it was forgotten again, Rabbi Chiya and his sons ascended and reestablished it. The Ritva explains that even though Torah was not forgotten then, which is during the days of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, we learn that even one who assures the survival of even one halacha is regarded as having established the entire Torah. And Rabbi Chiya and his son said that Rabbi Dosa and the Chamim are arguing over machatzalos mats that most people do not designate for sitting on. Rabbi Dosa holds that they are not makabel tumas midras, and the Chamim hold that since some people occasionally sit on them, they are makabel tumas midras. And point number three, the opening mission, the second parak states, Hayashin tachas amita basukkah yatzei dechovaso. One who sleeps under the bed in a sukkah has not fulfilled his chiyuv to dwell in a sukkah. Rashi explains that the bed serves as an independent oel and is a barrier between him and the sukkah, and the ikur dwelling in the sukkah is eating, drinking, and sleeping there. Rabbi Yehuda said, it was our practice that we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah in the presence of the zakenim, and they didn't say a word in protest. The Gemara will explain that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the bed is considered an ohel arai, a temporary dwelling, v'lasi ohel arai umavato ohel keva. A temporary shelter doesn't supersede the permanent shelter of the sukkah. All right, so now we go to our simmer daf chaf, and our standard simmon is a cafe. A cafe. So here goes. The Leather Bag Cafe, where guests occasionally sat on mats to relearn forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, organized beds in their sukkah restaurant sukkahs for really tired guests to sleep under. Once again, in slow motion. The Leather Bag Cafe. Cafe. That must be more in Daf Chaf. The Leather Bag Cafe, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a mission in the 80s that taught, Kol chotzoas metamin tmei meis divi Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says that all chotzoas are makabel tumas meis, and the chamim are understood to say they are also makabel tumas midras. Chotzoas are defined as leather bags. Rashi explains that shepherds use them for pillows when they lie down to rest. Rabbi Dosa holds that since this is not their primary use, and shepherds are not encouraged to lie down on the job, they are not makabel tumas midras. Reish Lakish says they are machotzoas mamish, real mats. So, the Leather Bag Cafe, where guests occasionally sat on mats to relearn forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, which reminds us of how Reish Lakish recalled Rabbi Chiya and his son's pshat in the machos between Rabbi Dosa and the Chami by first mentioning three times the Torah was forgotten and was retaught by those that came from Bavel. The first time by Ezra Sofer, then Hillel Azakain, and then Rabbi Chiya and his sons. And Rabbi Chiya and his sons said that Rabbi Dosa and the Chami are arguing over mats that most people do not designate for sitting on. Rabbi Dosa holds that they are not makabel tumas midras, and the Chamim hold that since some people occasionally sit on them, they are makabel tumas midras. So the Leather Bag Cafe, where guests occasionally sit on mats to relearn forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, organized beds in their sukkah restaurant on sukkos for really tired guests to sleep under. Which reminds us, the opening mishnah of the second parak states, Hayashin tachas amita basukkah yatzei dechovaso, one who sleeps under the bed in a sukkah has not fulfilled his chiyuv to dwell in a sukkah. Rashi explains that the bed serves as an independent oel and is a barrier between him and the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda said, it was our practice that we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah in the presence of the zakenim, and they didn't say a word in protest. The Gemara will explain that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the bed is considered an oel arai, a temporary dwelling, v'lasi oel arai umavato oel keva. A temporary shelter doesn't supersede the permanent shelter of the sukkah. So once again, the Leather Bag Cafe, where guests occasionally sat on mats to relearn forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, organized beds in their sukkah restaurant on sukkos for really tired guests to sleep under. All right, now it's time for a four blah chazara. Daf Tazayin, so the simmer Daf Tazayin is toes. So here goes. The acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes, that must be more on Daf Tazayin. The acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to hollow out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefachai, which reminds us that in the case of a chote begadish, if one hollowed out a haystack and there was a cavity, one tefachai, for a length of seven tefachim, then it is a kosher sukkah. Rush explains that for the straw to meet the definition of schach, it would have to cover an empty space of at least one tefachai, for that's the minimum height of an oath. Therefore, if it also has the length of seven tefachim, it would meet the requirement of kosher schach, and there would not be an issue of tas v'lominasui. Although the cavity needs to be hauled out further to a height of 10 tefachim, that's necessary only in order to make the walls kosher, and the requirement of tas v'lominasui does not apply to sukkah walls. So, the acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefachai, landed with 1 foot under a mechitza tluya, which reminds us. In the next mission, Rabbi Yossi holds that if one constructs sukkah walls from the top down, then even if a wall is 3 tefachim above the ground or higher, it's kosher, for he maintains that a mechitza tluya is materis. A suspended partition is a kosher mechitza. A similar case from Erevin is brought, where Rabbi Yehuda rules that in the case of a cistern between two chetzeros, the wall running over the cistern should act as mechitza to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity, and suggests that Rabbi Yehuda's ruling is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds mechitza tluya materis in the case of the sukkah. And so to hear the wall going over the cistern, which is a mechitza tluya, considered a full wall. The Gemara rejects the suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would only apply the principle to a derabanan, such as Erevin, but not to a deraisa, such as sukkah, and perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply it to a sukkah, which is an iser aseh, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an iser skila. So the acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefachai, landed with 1 foot under a mechitza tluya, and the other under a suspended mat that was four tefachim and a bit in size. Which reminds us, Machetzelos Arbo Mashum Materes Pasukim Mishum Dofen, a mat whose width is four tefachim and a bit and is suspended midway between the schach and the ground with a gap of less than three tefachim below it and a gap of less than three tefachim above it, is a kosher wall, because any gap less than three tefachim wide is treated as though it were closed based on lavud. The Gemara explains that one might have thought chad lavud amrin trei lavud lo amrin, that we apply the law of lavud to extend a mechitza once, but not to apply lavud to extend it twice. Rav Chisda therefore teaches that we apply lavud twice to the same mechitza. Daf Yud Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman, that must be run Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach, which reminds us that the Talmudim of Rav said in the name of Rav, Avir posel b'shlosha schach pasul posel b'arba. A strip of open airspace is posel sukkah when it's three tefachim wide, and a strip of invalid schach posels a sukkah when it's four tefachim wide. When Rav had challenged them based on the Mishnah that teaches that if the roof of a house was breached in the center and one placed schach on top of it, if there's a distance of four amos between the wall and the house and the schach, the sukkah is pasul, which implies that a gap narrower than four amos does not disqualify, the Talmidim answered him that that halach is based on Dovan Akuma, in which less than four amos invalid schach can be viewed as part of a bent wall. Their ruling of four tefachim concerns pasul schach in the middle of the sukkah. So the used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach tried to convince the shopper not to take the one with airspace next to less than four tefachim of fabric, which reminds the Rav posed another challenge that when there's a case of a strip of pasul schach less than four tefachim wide in the middle of the sukkah, and next to it there's a strip of open space less than three tefachim wide, the sukkah is kosher because there's not enough pasul schach to invalidate. Yet, if one filled the open space with spitz or other pasul schach, the sukkah is possible because the width of the invalid material is now at least four tefachim. But should not the open space which disqualifies a sukkah when there's just three tefachim wide be as potent as pasul schach, which disqualifies a sukkah when four tefachim wide? The Talmidim responded that if the question is valid, then Rabbah would have the same challenge in the case of a strip of invalid schach less than four amos wide in the middle of a sukkah next to an open space of less than three amos wide. So the used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach tried to convince the shopper not to take the one with airspace next to less than four tefachim of fabric, but to buy the luxury halacha l'moshe m'sinai one with almost four amos of fabric instead, since it doesn't combine. Which reminds us, the Rabbah responded to the challenge by saying that there's no comparison. According to him, the Mishnah's rule that Dalet Amos Pasul Schach invalidates a sukkah is not based on Dofen Akuma, but it is a halacha l'moshe m'sinai shear that disqualifies a sukkah, whether the material is at the side of the sukkah or in the middle. And this strip of invalid material, which measures four amos only when it combines with open space, doesn't have the shear to disqualify sukkah. For since the shiurim for the invalid schach and open space are not equal, along with starfe, they don't combine to make up the requisite minimum. But according to the Talmidim, who stated shear of dal tefachim based on original reasoning that the measurement is only significant mishum hafraga because of a gap, it's a minimum that constitutes a separation, they must therefore explain what difference it makes whether the separation is made through pasul schach alone or through a combination of pasul schach and open space. Daf Yud Ches, so the Simmer Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah. So here goes. When the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah, that must be more on Daf Yud Ches. When the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah with three tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spitz, which reminds us that Abai said that an open space of three tefachim in the schach of a large sukkah can be reduced with sticks, which are valid schach, or with spitz, which are puzzle, since the gap now lacks the width of three tefachim necessary to puzzle the sukkah. However, in a small sukkah, which is only 7x7 tefachim, if he reduced it with spitz, it is not effective, since the open space and spitz together form a gap in the schach of three tefachim. Therefore, they're significant enough to be regarded as separate from the schach, and the valid schach lacks the requisite dimensions of 7x7 tefachim. So when the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah with three tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spitz was challenged by his father-in-law whether lavud applies in the middle, which reminds us there's a machlokes whether yesh lavud be'emsa. The one who says yesh lavud be'emsa brings a raya from two protruding koras, two beams in the mavli that don't meet in the middle, but there's less than three tefachim between them, and that works. The one who says ain lavud be'emsa brings a raya from tuma opposite a small aruba, a skylight, where the bias is deemed tahor. So when the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah with three tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spitz was challenged by his father-in-law whether lavud applies in the middle, the kol ran out embarrassed and hit on the porch covered in schach that had no columns. which reminds us of one place chach on a porch, she'ein lo pitzimin, that does not have columns that are placed at intervals less than 3 tefachim wide. Abai says the sukkah is kosher, amrinim pi tikri yord v'sosim, because we say that the edge of the roof extends downwards and seals, meaning the edge of each porch, is viewed as extending downward to form the sukkah's requisite partitions. Rava says the sukkah is possible because he holds lo amrinim pi tikri yord v'sosim. Daf Yotes, so the symbol for Daf Yotes is a yacht. So here goes. The adults on the chomod yacht trip, that must be run Daf Yotes. The adults on the chomod yatrip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, which reminds us, a tana ta, psal yotz min a sukkah, nidun ka sukkah. Psal, referring to schach that sticks out of the sukkah, is treated like a sukkah. Ula said this refers to sticks of schach that extend behind the sukkah, and one might have thought that since its walls were initially for the interior of the main sukkah and were not made for the extension, which is outside, one could argue the extension does not have valid walls. The Bryce is coming to teach that it is valid. And Rabbi Rav Yosef said they were dealing with sticks of schach that protrude in front of the sukkah, and one wall extends along with it. You might have said that it doesn't have the requirements of a valid sukkah. The Bryce is teaching us that it's valid since the protruding section is not regarded as separate from the sukkah. Two more interpretations are given. So the adults on the Chol HaMoed Yatrip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ha'osa sukkaso kamin srif, if one makes a sukkah like a conical hut, or shesmach l'kosa, or he leaned it against a wall, Rabbi Eliezer rules in either case that it's possible because it has no roof. The Chami rule that it's kosher because they hold, shipua olim ka olim damu, sloping roofs are considered roofs. It was taught in a brace, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if he raised a sukkah that leaned against a wall, a tefach off the ground, or distanced it a tefach from the wall and supported with pegs, then it is kosher. So the adults on the Chol HaMoed Yatrip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall, and in another one that had small reed mats that were typically for reclining. Which reminds the next mission introduced to Malchus being the Chami and Rabbi Eliezer regarding when large and small mats, machasalos, can be used as schach. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman of Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.